Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Friday. Great to be with you on a Friday and every day on the one, the only EWTN. Check us out online, EWTN.com, for all of our great resources. Speaking of which, I'm so excited. I was honored to be interviewed by my dear, dear friend and beautiful sister in the Lord, the one, the only Jeanette Williams, Women of Grace. We taped two sessions yesterday. It was so funny. The producers, Jeanette, was telling me, hey, they're telling us it's like really high energy. Well, the two of us get together and it's like just love speaking with her. So we're talking about the election, and I'm concentrating on the media and the culture and the formation of conscience. This is coming up Thursday and Friday, Women of Grace with beautiful Jeanette Williams. So stay tuned for that. We will be posting and tweeting about it as we get closer, but I'm sure you watch and listen to Jeanette daily anyway, but just wanted to put that out there. I was very grateful for her to sit down with me and chat. It went by very fast. Whoosh, it was just like done so quickly. All right, coming up on the show today, speaking of EWTN, excited to have back on the program, as we do every week, with the Inside Word and all the fabulous programming. And that would be Doug Keck, our Chief Operating Officer and President of the network. So much going on as we get closer to Election Day. And again, Doug will fill us in on what's coming up and how we can stay informed about the things that matter most. At the bottom of the hour, this will be fun. There'll be a little break, but a reminder of the importance of putting Christ first. There is a relatively new museum at Ave Maria University. Actually, Tom Monahan, who founded Ave Maria University, also helped found Ave Maria Radio. So, you know, the two kind of, for me, meld together in a good way. Anyhow, I digress. Ave Maria University has a new Mother Teresa Museum. I haven't been there. I've been to the university many times, a beautiful campus, but I've never been to this new museum. We are building it into our pilgrimage, our WINE Ave Maria Radio pilgrimage, Women of the New Evangelization, that's coming up in November. And I'll be doing the show live from Florida on that Friday morning, which will be, I believe, November 6th. We fly out on the 5th, and we will talk about the museum. And what you'll see, we'll be getting a tour of that, as well as meeting with the president of the university. We're going to have a prayer service on the beach. We're going to have all kinds of great talks. But I'm really excited because I had the opportunity to actually meet Mother Teresa when I was an intern in a large AM news talk station in Detroit years ago when I was in college. And I never forgot that experience. And I followed her life very closely, even when I was away from the church. I followed her. And so to see this museum will be pretty phenomenal. And we'll talk about that a little bit later at the bottom of the hour. And then wrapping up today with our Fact Check Friday segment, we've had a really good response to that, so much so that my ACE media support team at Teresa Tomeo Communications, Gail and Marcy, put together a page, a separate page on my website for Fact Check Friday. Had a message on Facebook from a woman who's trying to talk to a friend about how the media are really just selling us a bill of goods, not just in what's going on with the election, but overall in everything, especially when it comes to the teachings of the church, as made evident by what happened with the story with the Pope yesterday, but that's a whole other thing. Anyhow, Fact Check Friday is on my page, on my homepage, TeresaTomeo.com/Fact Check Friday. What we do is we put the links to the segments there for you and also resources pertaining to the topic we discussed. So today we're going to talk about the sin of omission. Hearing and seeing emails and hearing phone calls on the radio of various shows, because of my expertise in media, having been in the media almost 40 years, having a degree in journalism, and writing several books on media influence, speaking on media influence, researching that topic till I'm blue in the face and then some, I could hear it in people's voices and what their words that they're using and how manipulated they are by the media and how it has affected their ability to reason through key issues that affect our faith and how they're allowing feelings and emotions to run their decision-making process. Dr. Ray Guarendi did a great job of trying to address this yesterday on his show, and he's going to be back with us for the other segment we've added, Faith versus Feelings. We had Father Mitch on earlier this week. But I really want to tap into Ray's knowledge on the psychology of this, and he was trying to talk to people yesterday about reason, about reasoning and the ability to weigh things and what it means in terms of our souls and our lives. So really important topic, and this whole thing of omission is just off the charts. So we'll dive into that in Fact Check Friday. That's coming up, and we'll wrap up the program with that on a Friday morning. A busy news day, as you can imagine. You are listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, this show co-sponsored by, co-produced by EWTN and Ave Maria Radio. My voting resource page is going to be on the homepage of AveMariaRadio.net, along with other great resources. You may find a whole list of great tools, resources, edifying programming on EWTN.com as well. Let's see what's happening in and around the world on a Friday, October 23rd. Well, the Senate Judiciary Committee sending the Supreme Court nomination of federal judge Amy Coney Barrett to the full Senate.
Mr. Chairman, the votes are 12 yeas, 10 no votes.
The nomination will be reported favorably to the floor with a unanimous vote.
There will be a Senate confirmation vote coming up on Monday. Democrats boycotting the meeting yesterday. South Carolina Republican Lindsey Graham calling Barrett incredibly qualified. President Trump nominating the federal judge to replace the late Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. New York police are investigating a vandalism attack against a statue of Mary outside Resurrection Catholic Church in Brooklyn. It's one of two statues of the Blessed Mother and another of Jesus damaged this week. Acts of vandalism are on the rise against Catholic churches and statues around the country and the world. Media critics say NBC News correspondent and presidential debate moderator Kristen Welker interrupted President Trump at least 30 times last night, but did manage to ask Vice President or former Vice President Joe Biden a question concerning his son's foreign business dealings while the former vice president was in office. Last week's exclusive report released by the New York Post concerned allegations about Joe Biden's own knowledge or involvement in his son's finances overseas. Biden has repeatedly denied the allegations, and much of the mainstream media has either downplayed or completely ignored the growing controversy. Meanwhile, Hunter Biden's ex-business partner, Tony Bobulinski, confirmed last night in a press conference before the debate that he did meet with the former vice president regarding his son's business dealings.
I've heard Joe Biden say that he's never discussed business with Hunter. That is false. I have firsthand knowledge about this because I directly dealt with the Biden family, including Joe Biden. I have also heard that Vice President Biden said on Tuesday that Senator Ron Johnson, the chair of the Senate Homeland Security Committee, should be ashamed for suggesting that Biden family sought to profit from their name. Well, here are the facts I know, and everything I'm saying is corroborated by emails, WhatsApp chats, agreements, documents, and other evidence.
Bobulinski is a former naval officer describing himself as a Democrat. He did decline to take questions. He presented three phones he said contained corroborating evidence, adding he would be meeting with the Senate committee today. The debate, meanwhile, last night focusing heavily on COVID-19, with the former vice president strongly criticizing the president's handling of the virus. The topic of energy also taking center stage, with former Vice President Joe Biden promising that in order to combat climate change, he would shut down the oil and gas industry, promising what he called complete zero emissions by 2025. President Trump is also releasing the White House video of his full interview with CBS's 60 Minutes, where he walked off early.
Well, I think we have enough. Really, we have enough of
it. Yeah, I think we're ready for the vice president now.
I think we have enough of an interview here. Okay, that's enough. Let's go.
The president tweeting he was releasing it so the public could see how rudely he was treated and how biased it was against him. Trump said he wanted to know why they were not covering Hunter Biden's emails or alleged spying on his campaign by the Obama administration. The Senate Judiciary Committee is issuing subpoenas for the bosses of Facebook and Twitter to testify.
Mr. Chairman, the votes are 12 yeas and 10 not present.
Motion is passed.
Senate Judiciary Committee Chair Lindsey Graham saying he wants Jeff Zuckerberg and Jack Dorsey to address alleged bias against their party by the social media giants.
I move to vote on the chairman's October 22, 2020 motion to authorize subpoenas relating to online content.
Chair Graham holding the vote immediately after the confirmation vote for Supreme Court nominee Amy Coney Barrett. He and his fellow Republicans say Mark Zuckerberg and Jack Dorsey need to address alleged election interference as well and bias against their party. The U.S. Attorney General is speaking out about the federal effort to reduce gun violence in Indianapolis.
Violent crime can be addressed if we have the will to do it. If we have the will to target the shooters and get them off the streets, we can drive this violence down.
William Barr was in Indianapolis yesterday taking part in a law enforcement roundtable discussion. He discussed Operation Legend, which was introduced back on August 14th. The operation expected to continue past its original 45-day plan after already getting tens of thousands of grams of drugs and over 200 crime guns off the streets of Indianapolis alone. And more nursing homes, schools, and houses of worship are adding UVC lighting to their air duct systems. Michigan's Eric Hansel with Expert Lighting says this sort of attack on viruses has been used for years in third world hospitals to fight TB. He says it's like a car wash for the air.
As the air is continually being recirculated, it passes by the ultraviolet, and then ultraviolet does its job, and it continually cleans the air by deactivating any virus or bacteria that may be lingering.
He also says, however, he can't stress enough that this is not to be used instead of other mitigation efforts. Southwest Airlines relaxing coronavirus restrictions with middle seats only staying blocked through Thanksgiving. Tom Costello explains.
Southwest and Delta have been blocking middle seats to give passengers a few feet of social distance during the pandemic. But with new research suggesting it's safe to fly, Southwest says it will sell every available seat starting December 1st.
That means they'll be open for Christmas and New Year's travel. American and United also have stopped limiting ticket sales. And more good news, new applications for unemployment benefits so far this month falling to the lowest level since the coronavirus shut down many businesses all the way back in March. The Wall Street Journal reporting it's a very good sign of improvement for the economy. The U.S. adding 661,000 jobs in September, while unemployment fell to 7.9%. 12 minutes past the hour. Hope your Friday is going well. Get out, enjoy the beautiful fall weather wherever you're at. I know it might be not so much fall down south, but if you can enjoy some of the change of season, just a beautiful, beautiful time of year. We're actually having a heat wave in Michigan. We're going to be hitting 75 degrees today. Woohoo! Love it, but the colors here are still fantastic. Normally, by this time of the year, up north, as we say, in the northern part of the country, they start to fade, but they've just been incredible. God is so creative. I'm telling you, that's because he's God and we're not. And on that note, we'll be right back.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo. If you're facing uncertainty with your current healthcare plan, now is the time to join CMF Curo. You can join any time during the year. And CMF Curo offers flexible Catholic healthcare solutions for individuals, families, and employers. CMF Curo is your personal healthcare advocate. Contact them today at mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at avemariaradio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to avemariaradio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
There's a lot of uncertainty in the world right now. Companies have temporarily stopped hiring. Sporting events are held without fans. Even your friends are being told to keep their social distance from you. However, at Ave Maria University, we ask you to consider advancing while the world around you recedes. Gaining an online master's degree in business administration or theology can propel you forward, distinguishing you from the competition when companies again start hiring. Apply now at avemaria.edu.
Minutes past the hour. It's a Friday morning. You know what that means? It's time to talk with the one, the only, Doug Keck, President and Chief Operating Officer. I don't know where to begin. I'm just so grateful for all the programming we have because I'll tell you, it keeps me sane, and that's a very difficult job. Just ask my husband.
Yeah,
and
go ahead.
I was just going to say we're using a lot of fun clips from Mother Angelica that we're posting on Facebook about voting and about the truth. And she's just something else, I'll tell you.
We thought it was really important that people, because a lot of times people would say in the light of what's going on, well, they'd say, well, Mother would have, you know, she wouldn't like this particular guy, and, you know, Mother would be upset about this. And we just always felt like, listen, those of us who knew her could tell you what we think she would say about these things, okay? But in lieu of that, we're going to let her speak for herself, and people need to understand. And that's why those live clips. In fact, we're going to have two more shows related to whole shows airing later next week on the 27th, 28th, having Mother dealing with elections and things like that and her perspective on those. Some of the clips have been pulled from that. And I think it's important for people, you know, to understand where she's coming from. If that doesn't change their mind, it doesn't help them decide, that's fine, but they can't somehow convince themselves, well, Mother wouldn't really think this or think that. So I think it's at least clarification. And I think that's what our job is to do, is to say, listen, folks, as the church does, we're not imposing, we're proposing. But you're doing, you want people to know the facts. You want them to know what's really going on and what's really the church is teaching on something. And if then they make a decision, obviously, everybody has free will. But everybody has to remember, you're going to have to answer one day for how you use your free will. So that's important. We've also got a couple of things. John Paul II, obviously, we've got a documentary airing tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. People can check that out. Obviously, a great pro-lifer, a great pope, a saint, and this is on, you know, obviously his anniversary. We've got the Reformation Marathon coming up, okay, and that's airing this weekend. So we've got 12 whole episodes back-to-back-to-back on the Reformation. You want to find out how we ended up where we are as far as the Protestantism, etc. We've got the Miracles of Padre Pio. We've got a new show called The Catholic Sphere, where we go around the globe and find out what's going on. We've got a double feature, again, the very popular Wolf in Sheep's Clothing Parts 1 and Part 2, back-to-back on Sunday, starting at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, if you haven't seen it. Also, you know, if you've never seen the original one and you'd like to see it for free, on demand, you can go to our on-demand site on EW10.com. And you can actually watch the original Wolf in Sheep's Clothing, having to do with Saul Alinsky and all of that political stuff that we see played out, all those styles that are used, and you can find that out and get it for free. You can watch it for free. We've also got programs on the Crusades, 1 through 4, another black legend we got to deal with. And then coming up at the end of the week, of course, we've got the beatification of Father Michael McGivney, the Knights of Columbus, that event's
awesome.
Coming up. Next Saturday, we've got a whole slew of programs, Carl Anderson on EWTN Live and a bunch of other programs, Priest for Our Time and An American Blessed, both new programs. And we're going to re-air the EWTN Theology Roundtable that I worked on with Father Mitch, Father Robert Spitzer, and Colin.
That was
that
great,
is going to air
the
on
way.
The 29th at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, so people can check that out. And again, I think it helps along with your coverage and Raymond's on the world over, where he went over with Father Murray over the whole idea of the non-negotiables, and that's the part we got to get across to people.
Jeanette and I discussed that too. We taped two shows for Women of Grace that are going to air next week, Thursday and Friday, and we really got into that very, very heavily. And this whole idea, Doug, of this is why these shows are so important, because we have to understand that we are being formed. Are we allowing ourselves to be formed by the culture, or are we allowing ourselves to be formed by Scripture and the Church?
You had the story about you know, Amy Coney Barrett being moved forward for the full Senate,
right?
And there was a survey or a poll that came out that there's somewhere under 30% of Catholics who oppose her nomination. How could you, as a Catholic, oppose her nomination?
Right.
She's a good Catholic. She's pro-life. There's nothing in that. I mean, everybody who says they're not in favor of abortion, you know, she's pro-life. She never said she's going to overturn anything. She says she's going to deal with the Constitution. So what that tells you is there's a high percentage or a reasonable amount of people who still describe themselves as Catholic who basically are Catholic in name only. And we have to be careful because there's good Catholic people out there who get confused by people running around and saying they're Catholic who are spouting these ridiculous statements. I mean, even a bishop who was talking about, well, you know, because you can be pro-choice and vote because you're not intrinsically involved with the actual abortion itself. Well, that's ludicrous.
Well, yeah, you are if you're voting for politicians that are instituting the laws.
But he was trying to separate that out. That's like saying to somebody, I can vote for Hitler because I'm not the one who's dropping the cyanide for the people dying. It's ludicrous. It's you said, and you were talking about Dr. Ray, we have to move the feelings out of it. We have to look at the facts, folks, as Joe Biden likes to say. You know, come on, man.
Yeah.
We have to look at the facts and stop talking about the feelings. You know, there's a... Our Lord has a line in Scripture where he says, if you don't believe in me, believe in the works that I do. And so, you know, in some ways, you know, in a bizarre way, it relates to Trump. You don't like him personally. You don't think he really believes what he says he does about pro-life, because we see that. But look at what he's doing. Look at all the wonderful pro-life things that have happened, regardless of what you think of his own private life or even what he personally believes. My question is, and we talked about this before with the good son, which is the good son, the one who says he's going to do the work and doesn't, the one who originally says he's not and then goes and does it? Our Lord says it's the one who ultimately does it.
Right. And I don't understand how people can't look at that, because you say you shall know them by their fruit. And what do you see? Right. I mean, in terms of the two platforms, which is the most pro-life, which lines up mostly? And again, we don't tell people how to vote. But when you have abortion as a preeminent issue, the facts remain that this is, whether you like him, the most pro-life president we've had. He has fought more for the Catholic Church than any quote-unquote Catholic politician, whether it's in the Senate or in the presidency, such as Kennedy many years ago, that has supported church teaching in terms of protecting us and our First Amendment rights. The records are there, the facts are there, and the fact that people can't disseminate, can't sort this out and balance psychologically what's going on here, that to me is just the weight that they're giving. And the other thing, Doug, is, and you and I know this, that the media are portraying, I'm not saying that you just want to sometimes tell Trump to back away from Twitter and that he can be bombastic. Look, nobody's arguing with that. But do people think that the other candidate has never said anything rude, has never made racist comments, has never insulted anybody? I mean, he has an allegation of, you know, a very serious sexual charge that's still pending, not to mention a history of problems with sexually harassing women that have been ignored by the secular media.
Well, I think one of the things is this, and that's what people have to look at. Why is the highest per capita income in the Washington, D.C. market? They don't make anything there. The only reason you go there is to make money off the taxpayer. And how do you go into service in the government 47 years ago and end up being a multi-millionaire with all of your family incredibly wealthy? I don't know how you do that unless there's something else going on. It's certainly not based on what the government pays you and certainly what it costs to live in that particular area. And I think part of the problem is people just get confused. One of the things I think about when, you know, I always think about the situation and say, what is that analogous to? It's like comparing, you know, Herod had the infants killed, right? The innocents, okay?
Right.
So he committed a horrible sin by having those people, the soldiers, do that. Then the Levite and the priest walked by the poor man on the street and didn't take care of him. Both of those were sins, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But it strikes me one was a heck of a lot worse than the other.
Right.
One was murdering children. The other one wasn't being a good neighbor.
Absolutely. And someone said to me on Facebook, well, you know, I was raised not to call people names. Not that both candidates haven't been guilty of that over the last, you know, couple of years. And I said to myself, I didn't want to be nasty. I said, yeah, and I was raised to believe that killing people is wrong. When you're talking about abortion, you're talking about 2,000 babies a day. 2,000 babies a day, a million a year.
And remember, you're dealing in 1984, which is doublespeak and doublethink. So words are twisted and used to make things sound palatable. You know, we go from the idea of autonomy that allows you to decide to end your life to what the future is that the doctor decides when it's time to end your life, or your family decides to end your life. And slippery slope is used all the time, but we're in a downhill slope with many of these things. It's not a slippery slope anymore, and people don't see that they are giving up their religious liberty. When you can't speak in public, somebody like Amy Coney Barrett can't talk about her basic Catholic beliefs without being ridiculed in public. And the only reason they didn't go at her again the way they went at her several years ago when she was up for the federal judgeship is because of the election and because Joe Biden is courting the Catholic vote. And they don't want to have Catholics get annoyed because these people are sitting there criticizing her for being a believing Catholic. Mm-hmm. It seems like it's okay to be a Catholic in name only, yep, but you're not allowed to be a Catholic who actually practices their faith, at least not in public.
Yeah. And yet Catholics who say they take their faith seriously are allowing their emotions to be controlled by a press that openly hates the church, as you just described. Doug, great discussion. Look forward to all the wonderful programming at EWTN.com. Thanks so much.
God bless.
We'll be right back on a Friday morning. So what would Mother Teresa say about all this? We'll find out. Stay tuned.
I'm Dr. Stan Williams, and this is the logic of Catholicism. Solanus Casey said, appreciation is as necessary for social order and harmony as are the laws of gravity for the physical world. Critics of the church often boast, what good is the church anyway? Science can tell us everything we need to know. Okay, fine. Ignore the church's moral teachings. Why is it then that after centuries of study, social and biological scientists tell us that among observant Christians, there is less crime, disease, and suicide, and higher levels of charity, service, and happiness? The reason is that for millennia, through God's revelation, Catholic precepts have provided shortcuts to understanding what is good, true, and beautiful. Today, share with your friends your appreciation for the Church's shortcuts to the good life. And that's the logic of Catholicism. Explore more at AveMariaRadio.net. Under resources, look for me, Dr. Stan Williams.
Dr. Ray Guarendi.
What's looking back at you at age 22? What do you hope to say about that child at age 22? If you're content to say, well, the way kids are turning out nowadays, counting my blessings. Parole officer says one of the nicest children he has. Or would you rather say he's 1 in 100? Morals, compassion, seeks God. Are you prepared to be a 1 in 100 parent then? You can't parent like the bulk of parents anymore. You will supervise far higher. You will screen out toxic media sewage at a rate unlike all of your friends, perhaps your family. No guarantees as to what will be looking back at you at age 22. But you want to be able to say, I think he's 1 in 100. Then you be a 1 in 100 parent.
Minutes past the hour. Welcome back. Abortion is profoundly anti-women. 3/4 of its victims are women, half the babies, and all the mothers. Please do not kill the child. I want the child. Please give me the child. I am willing to accept any child who would be aborted and to give that child to a married couple who will love the child and be loved by that child. These are just two of the many quotes from St. Teresa of Calcutta. And God willing, when we visit the beautiful campus of Ave Maria Radio, I said it again, Ave Maria Radio University, Ave Maria University, near Naples, Florida, we will be visiting this relatively new and pretty amazing museum. And it's under the link of MotherTeresaProject.org/museum. On the phone with us is Michael O'Donnell, who's a director. Michael, thanks for joining us.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
So tell us about this project and the museum.
Yeah. So our former president, President Jim Tui, was Mother Teresa's personal lawyer for the last 12 years of her life. And when he became the president of Ave Maria University, he wanted to bring that special relationship that he had with Mother Teresa and the Missionaries of Charity to the younger generation of students on campus. And he was realizing that with this generation of students and Mother Teresa passing away in 1995, he realized that some of them weren't even alive during her life. And for them, Mother Teresa might as well have been a saint like Joan of Arc or one of those saints from an older generation, another century. And he realized what a loss it would have been if they didn't understand the connection she had to our generation and to this millennium. So he got in contact with the Missionaries of Charity to use Mother Teresa's name to start this project and got their permission to have four pillars and these four operations that we have from the Mother Teresa Project. And so the first was a museum. And the museum is the only certified museum in North America by the Missionaries of Charity. So the other museum that they have that's certified is in Calcutta, India. So we are extremely fortunate to have this museum on campus. It's the identical storyboards that tell Mother Teresa's life as those in Calcutta. And we also have handwritten documents that President Tui shared. And we have a relic, a piece of her sari, a replica of her room in Calcutta. So I always see it as just a very precious jewel that we have on campus for students and visitors to come and take almost a retreat. I'm, you know, in my job, I coordinate a couple things with mission trips and local service, and every once in a while I'll get a phone call of someone that's outside the museum, and we're off hours or during COVID, we don't have anybody working the museum, and they would just like to stop by and see the museum, and I'll walk downstairs, and it's such a great break from my day to walk through the life of Mother Teresa and to see all the challenges that she puts in front of us as a wife of the saint. So that's the museum that we have on campus, and then off of that stems our local service. So we do about 5,000 hours of local service with our students every semester in working with nonprofits in the area, whether it's nursing homes, whether it's soup kitchen, whether it's after-school programs. We usually try to have an event 7 days a week where the students can go out and serve. And this is obviously pre-COVID. You know, now with COVID, we've had to be a lot more creative in the service that we had, and we had to shut some things down. But, yes, our students were engaged in the community as much as possible. Then we have mission trips. And so every year we send about 11 mission trips and around 60 students on mission to Calcutta, Uganda, Brazil, Peru, Haiti, Dominican Republic, Mexico City. And we also go to some local, some domestic places. So Washington, D.C., the Bronx, New York, Chicago, L.A. And all of these are with the Missionaries of Charity houses. And so I was fortunate enough when I was a student, I graduated in 2017. I was fortunate enough to go to Calcutta, India. And in January, last January, I led a trip to Brazil. And it was amazing that you get to stay in the house with the Missionaries of Charity. And so you wake up and you go to morning mass with them, and then you work with them through the day, and then at the end you have adoration and rosary. And it's, again, just this idea of a retreat and seeing how their life is centered around prayer. So it's kind of an immersion for our students to really understand how to, like, have prayer and service interwoven into their life. And so that's the museum, the local service, the mission trips, and then the last thing is the Scholar Program. The Scholar Program is our deepest level of formation for the students, and we have about 105 students that have signed up for the Scholar Program, and it is where we have book studies, lectures, small reflection days, and a retreat during their 4 years here where we look to uncover the spirituality of Mother Teresa and really look at her why of the service that she did. It wasn't, you know, it's a shame when people look at Mother Teresa and think that she was a great social worker. because there was so much more than that. And if you go out and try to live the life she did, just at the surface level of doing good to other people or treating people kindly, there's nothing wrong with that, but you're not going to be able to sustain that for 50 years.
Well, also because of what we know about her in terms of the desolation of the spirit and the dryness she had. It was almost for, I think, what, the last 40, 50 years of her life. So how do you pursue what God's will in your life when you are feeling abandoned, as she admits now, we know in her writings, but she kept on going. Michael, I just want to put out the website again for folks. This is fantastic. Yeah. I love the fact that you have this there as a reminder of who she is and what she did and contributed. But then you say, okay, that's nice. Yes, we have to remember, and she's a saint now, but how do we put that into action? What did she leave us in terms of how to put our faith into action, right? MotherTeresaProject.org/museum. MotherTeresaProject.org/museum. We're almost out of time. Michael, thank you so much. This was really, I think, a nice little highlight and a preview to what we're going to be experiencing with the ladies in a couple of weeks down at Ave Maria University. It will be part of our tour that we're doing for Women in New Evangelization and Ave Maria Radio, the post-election putting on the Ritz getaway, staying at the Gulf Resort, and then spending a lot of time at the beautiful university to learn more about Mother Teresa, to meet with the president, to meet with some of the students, to have a prayer service on the beach, and just get away from all the craziness in the world to help us get closer to Christ. Again, MotherTeresaProject.org/museum. Michael, thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me.
And keep up the great work. This is awesome to hear how St. Teresa of Calcutta is having such a profound impact on the students of Ave Maria University and the rest of the world still. When we come back, Fact Check Friday. All the news that's fit to twist and the big fat sin of omission, which is over the top, happening way too much, practically 24/7. We'll be right back.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. By asking for spiritual communion, we are acknowledging that the Holy Mass is the perfect, best way to worship God. The priest intercedes perfectly for us with God the Father because he acts in persona Christi. This is the time to see that through the priest's representation of Christ's sacrifice on Calvary, we are never separated from our Lord. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
Bishop Robert Barron.
Find out in any cultural situation, who's the Lord? There's somebody or some principle, some figure, some institution that has central importance in that culture. Whether it's king, whether it's the military, who knows what it is? Go up and down the centuries. What's the Lord? The declaration of the Lordship of Jesus will always be a challenge to whatever that reigning Lord happens to be. The Lord today is my personal freedom. I decide what my life is. I decide who I am. I decide everything from my gender to the ultimate meaning of my life. Now that personal freedom is so powerful that it's become the Lord. To evangelize the culture is therefore to challenge them and to say, no, no, it's not your own ego, not your own freedom that's Lord. Jesus determines the meaning of your life. Jesus is the center of your life, not your own freedom.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Call to communion.
Through EWTN Radio, we talk to audiences all over the world. One thing I've found out is everybody in the whole world has the same set of questions. They live the same human life. They all want meaning. They all want love. They all want significance. They want forgiveness. That's the most fascinating thing to me. The same answers work wherever you are throughout the world, because we're all children of God.
Called to Communion with Dr. David Anders, this afternoon, 2 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
It's past the hour. Hope you're having a great day. If you'd like information on the trip that we just mentioned, you can go to AveMariaRadio.net pilgrimage page. And we're really hoping that we can get enough people to go. I think we have about 10 women signed up. We need 20. There's still room. And if you live in the Florida area, you don't have to even stay at the hotel. We have a private price available if you wanted to stay home. We did have one woman, a listener of ours down in Naples, Florida, who said she would prefer to stay at home and just come and visit us at the hotel. And so we came up for a separate package price for her. Okay. So every Friday, and I'm probably going to continue this through the election now based on the great response we've gotten, I'm going to be doing a segment from 39 minutes past the hour to pretty much the top of the hour called Fact Check Friday. And we do have a link on my website now, teresatomio.com/Fact Check Friday, and we will put the links to these segments plus the resources to which we're referring there for you. And so if you want to share it with someone, you can always go to our homepage at AveMariaRadio.net and click on the archive section, because as I say all the time, Andrew does a great job of pulling together all the resources, the links, different books, different websites that we discuss on the program. And then you can also share the segments or share the links with your friends if you want them to hear the discussions. So last week we talked about negativity. We also talked about the lack of context, zero context, and we also talked about the extreme bias, which all ties in together. And we talked a lot about Amy Coney Barrett and what's happening with her. And I looked at the Society of Professional Journalists Code of Ethics, which you can find very easily online. Just do a search, Society of Professional Journalists Code of Ethics. The Radio and Television News Directors Association also has a similar code of ethics. And what is amazing to me is how these ethics, these codes that they're supposedly calling the gold standard, especially the Society of Professional Journalists, which has been around for a very long time, these are supposedly the gold standards of journalism. Because as I was telling Jeanette when we were taping our shows yesterday, in the media, we have the First Amendment. We don't have, let's say, like the state bars or the bar association or medical boards that can hold other professions to task legally without having to force people to go to court. In terms of the press, because of the country's interest in our founding fathers and a First Amendment, a free press, even if you were to take networks to court, it's very difficult to win, let's say, a case regarding a defamation of character, slander, libel. Even Nicholas Sandman is having a rough time, even though the cases are moving forward. It's not so cut and dry. So the reason I decided to do these segments is because so many people I'm hearing from and so many people who are writing us and calling in, as was the case with Dr. Ray Grundy's show yesterday, The Doctor Is In, so many people are basing major decisions on feelings and emotions that are, and I know they are, because of my research, because of my studies, because of my own experience, 20 years in the business, they are allowing themselves to be duped, to be formed, to be brainwashed by the media to the point where there is a loss of reason and balance in their thinking. When we look at the sin of omission, we now have in this country a major scandal that needs to be investigated, but that a majority of media, as I said in my newscast, have decided not to cover this story and to literally run protection for a candidate of the highest office in the land and the most powerful office in the world. After 2.5 years of aiding and abetting a so-called investigation that cost the taxpayers nearly $50 million and came up with zip, zero, nada. Now, however you feel or think about the two presidential candidates, you need to realize what the media are doing. They are operating as state-run media. In the case of NPR, they have blatantly come out and have said, they have told the American people with no qualms that they are not going to cover this story about the allegations against Joe Biden, his son Hunter, the connections between China and Ukraine and making money off of this. The vice president, former vice president, denied it on the record last night for the whole world to see 3 or 4 times. Meanwhile, the media also made zero mention, except on more conservative outlets such as Fox News and other sites, of this man who came forward who describes himself as a Democrat. He's a former naval officer. And he says, I can't keep silent anymore. I realize I'm putting myself and my family in harm's way. But he turned over, I think it was 3 phones, and he's meeting with federal officials today. The FBI, and this is a whole nother question. Why didn't the FBI, which is no fan of President Trump, we know this, why didn't the media question the FBI? They've had apparently this laptop, the laptop from hell as the president refers to it, for months. And now because of an investigative report that was released last week by the New York Post, we're finding out what is on this laptop, and it's pretty damaging. And the media are saying, no, nothing to look at here. And yet again, for 2.5 years, they supported, promoted, drove home 24/7, Russia, 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 Russia. And even in this case, with the former vice president, basically took the talking point from the Democratic Party, tell people that it's more Russia interference. And how'd that work for him the first time? 48 million of our taxpayer dollars spent on an investigation that ended up with nothing. The Mueller investigation imploded. His testimony, if you recall, was just horrible. And they are refusing to look at mounting evidence of corruption here, allegations of corruption. And should they be looking at this skeptically? Of course. That's what a reporter is supposed to do. You're supposed to come at it always considering the source. Does someone have something to gain here? In this case, if you look at this person, he has everything to lose. Given our cancel culture and given what's at stake, one of Hunter Biden's former partners in business is imprisoned and had to be moved to a protective area because of this story. And yet, the secular media are not covering it. And add on to that, as Dr. Ray was trying to get this point across yesterday, people are not looking at that because the media are guilty of the sin of omission. They're supposed to avoid conflicts of interest, real or perceived, and disclose unavoidable conflicts. They're supposed to recognize, and this is right from the Code of Ethics, recognize a special obligation to serve as watchdogs over public affairs and government. Seek to ensure that the public's business is conducted in the open and that public records are open to all. So how can you, for example, as NPR, which is paid for, by the way, brothers and sisters, by your tax dollars and mine, come out and say, no, nothing to look at here. We don't want to waste the public's time. Gee, well, thank you very much, but you wasted our time and trumpeted a false story based on a fake dossier, and you helped cost us $48 million. Now, again, we're not telling you for whom to vote. We're putting this out there. But from a journalistic standpoint, again, this is not journalism. This is state-run media. And on top of all that, this is the same media that attacked Nicholas Sandman and came very close to destroying his life in more ways than one, attacking Amy Coney Barrett, makes fun of our faith consistently, and took the story that broke yesterday, and granted there was a lot of confusion of that, but as Al said in his show, jumped from comments from the Pope about civil unions to all of a sudden the church is all about so-called same-sex marriage. They attack the church on the abortion issue, on priestly celibacy, on the male priesthood. And this is the media that people are allowing to control their emotions to the point where they're not balancing it against the most preeminent issue. And they are not taking the step further and seeing where these candidates stand. Yesterday, one of the callers into Dr. Ray's show, when Dr. Ray pushed him and said, all right, you don't like a particular candidate, but what about the other guy who supports partial birth abortion? Are you okay with abortion through, I'm paraphrasing, but are you okay with abortion through 9 months of pregnancy and even partial birth abortion? And then he described perfectly what a partial birth abortion is. And there was a little bit of silence on the other end. And then the man, and I almost jumped through the ceiling at that point, off my chair and through the ceiling. My Italian was up to unrecognizable degrees. I really don't think he supports that, the person said. Please. He is on record repeatedly by saying he supports abortion through 9 months of pregnancy. He said this less than 2 weeks ago, speaking to Lester Holt from NBC in the town hall that they had. He asked him directly about Roe v. Wade. He said he was going to codify it as law. What does Roe v. Wade give us? Abortion through 9 months of pregnancy. And he wants us to pay for it, Biden has said. Again, I'm putting out the facts there. Did the media report this? That was a live show, and so he said it. But does that get played over and over again? No, because the media know that a majority of people in this country are pro-life. And so they try to paint him as a moderate. Omission, 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 whether it's on abortion, whether it's on scandals that pertain to the party that they openly support. Not to mention they have failed to share their conflicts of interest with every single person. Jeanette and I were talking about this yesterday in our taping. Every single person, so-called journalist, involved in these debates, whether it be the vice presidential debate or the presidential debates, has strong ties, including money, to the Democratic Party. How is that fair and balanced, brothers and sisters? And how in the world can you allow a media that consistently attacks our faith, that consistently lies about our faith, that attacks good Catholics like Amy Coney Barrett, to affect your reasoning so much that you are ignoring the preeminent issue? Nothing compares to the lives of 2,000 babies a day in this country, up to 1 million a year. And late-term abortions? Well, the left wants you to think that they don't happen. Really? Look it up. The CDC will tell you 1/10 of abortions are late-term. So what is, I'm not great at math, but that's about 10,000 late-term abortions a year. The sin of omission. And we are allowing ourselves to be controlled by our feelings and our emotions, which, as Father Mitch Pacwa said, are so fluid and run all over the map, as opposed to being open to the reality of the situation, even if we don't like what we see. And do you honestly think that the other candidate is Mr. Congeniality and he hasn't said some pretty awful things about particular people, not just this president, in the past? You haven't seen it. Why is that? Because the media don't show it. Again, omission. That is not reporting. That is propaganda. And we have a responsibility to know the truth and to do our homework, to look at the platforms, to look at where these candidates stand, and to understand their vision, as Michael Warsaw said to us yesterday, commenting on that fabulous piece that he did explaining the difference in the visions. We cannot tell you for whom to vote, but we can tell you that we have to understand what's at stake here and that we have to look at the teachings of the church, not our feelings, not our emotions. The reasoning is being dumbed down because we are allowing ourselves to be continually manipulated, again, by a media that not only obviously dislikes the current president, but put that aside, but cannot stand the church in which you claim to be a member, and a faithful member at that. We'll be right back.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Religious freedom and healthcare and the right to life are under the greatest attack in American history. Right now, Catholic healthcare and the pro-life movement hang in the balance. My name is Lewis Brown, Executive Director of the Christ Medicus Foundation, and we are leading a new movement to defend religious freedom and civil rights in healthcare and to build the culture of life. We need your help now more than ever. Join this movement. Go to religiousfreedomandhealthcare.org. That's religiousfreedomandhealthcare.org.
Hi there, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
Research shows that when families openly live and share their faith together, they're more able to respond positively to the challenges they face every day.
So if you're looking for help in creating that joyful place where each member of your family experiences life as a gift from God, then you will want to check out our book, Discovering God Together, The Catholic Guide for Raising Faithful Kids.
You can find this book on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Minutes past the hour. Thanks so much to our guests, Doug Keck and Michael O'Donnell. EWTN.com for all the great programming information that Doug mentioned. And then again, if you're interested in that pilgrimage that we mentioned with the women in November, that's AveMariaRadio.net, our pilgrimage page, and my voting resources and the Fact Check Friday at TeresaTomeo.com/voting, and then Fact Check Friday, you know, just TeresaTomeo.com/fact check. On Monday, we are working on getting Raymond Arroyo on with us, hopefully to give us an update on the campaign and also some of the stories that he's covering. And then next week, we're also going to be doing another installation of Faith versus Feelings, and Dr. Ray Guarendi is going to be joining me for an extended, I'm going to do more than two segments with him because there's a lot to talk about. We're both very passionate about this. Have a great weekend. Remember, Jesus is large and very much in charge, and don't forget it. Talk to you on a Monday.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.